Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
Third down and five for Tom Brady. And the Pats at the Pittsburgh 25. Direct snap to Brady. Has time. Floats it long and deep. Gronkowski's got it. Hat trick touchdowns for Rob Gronkowski. His third touchdown of the game.
Now, here to break down the game and look ahead to next week, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
How do you like them apples, huh? Huh? Wow. Well, I'm back, everybody, and no, I was just gone last week, just for a little bit. Just had a few errands I had to get done that day, and a couple of things going on. And I got to say, first and foremost, I got to once again wish my parents happy 50th wedding anniversary. Truly an amazing accomplishment. We had a nice time over the weekend. But let's talk about the New England Patriots. Arguably, you can make a case. Thank you very much. You can make a case that in week 9/week 10, whatever it is, be throwing the bye week, that the New England Patriots are right now playing the best football in the National Football League. Certainly, again last week, and it pissed me off so much that I wasn't here for it, because I know the doom and gloom that was exactly what I thought would happen, happened. Everybody ready to jump off the Tobin Bridge. More stupid announcements of announcers around locally and nationally going absolutely crazy, you know, saying that no way they can win. How are they going to do it? And I sit here and I'm amazed at time and time again how people fall into the same old trap. It happened, and as I told John Rook in about 20 minutes ago in the crossover, it is unbelievable to listen, and it's comical when you have to hear a pregame show with Dan Marino, Bill Cowher, and Shannon Sharp. You know, if you can understand anything he says. And
President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots.
Well, and they were that day. I was at that game. That was a debacle. There's no question about it. However, to listen to those three before the game on Sunday was just it was comical, absolutely comical, comical. They were wrong about everything they said about the Patriots. It's like they took that Cleveland game, did not factor in at all. Baltimore, San Diego, Miami, Cincinnati, the other ones they've had. Buffalo, it just didn't matter. It's just they played like crap against the Browns, so that's going to be the way the Patriots play the rest of the year. Stupid. Dumb. Dumb. I mean, okay, they had a stinker against the Browns. We all know that. You know what? So has every other team in the NFL this year has had one or another. Multiple. Look at the Cowboys, except what happened on Sunday to them.
I'm excited to be a head coach.
Thanks. So I think fans, most fans that I've talked to actually locally got it. I mean, I think they just knew there was an aberration, what happened against the Browns, and they were going to come out firing. Brady's getting, I think, 6-1 against the the Steelers, you know, so far in his career. And you just knew, I mean, he owns them. You just knew for the most part that he was going to go out there and have one hell of a game. I thought the Patriots defense was going to play much better. They did. And they continue to really, really improve weekly. Now, yes, Hillis torched them 2 weeks ago, okay? But you take that game out, and they are really starting to, you know, they're coming together. I like what I'm seeing. I tell you, guys like Sean, even Kyle Arrington played pretty well on Sunday night. May, of course, Gary Guyton right away. What, they have 5 sacks in the games? So everything Shannon Sharp said, they can't rush the quarterback. But backfired. I think they had 5. I think they had 3 in the first half. You know, how are they going to, you know, they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. They can't do this. All you heard on CBS's pregame show about the Patriots was can't. They did throw up the stat. They're gracious enough to throw up the stat. The Patriots were 22-2 after a loss. But after that, you know, they didn't give them much respect. And I sure as hell didn't think Cowher was going to pick the Patriots to win. Nor did I think, you know, Marino and Sharp, you know, We're going to be objective about it. And Dan, usually, I've gotten to at least respect him a little bit more over the last couple of years. But some of these announcers, some of these analysts on ESPN, CBS, whatever, and they just take what happened, you know, the game before, and they apply it like it's going to be the norm for the rest of the season. It's ridiculous.
With the exception of one.
With exception of Ron Jaworski. Who?
Boomer. Good morning, Boomer.
Boomer sizing, yes. Boomer has been very objective. In fact, he picked the Patriots. He's the only one that picked the Patriots.
He was the only one.
He was the only one of the four.
He said it on yesterday
yeah.
that the other guys were wrong, flat out. They were.
But it's one thing about being wrong, Jason. I mean, everybody, sports is, you know, it's not an exact science. I mean, I've been wrong plenty of times, all right? But now when it comes to this football team, I pride myself on not being wrong a lot. Now, granted, they won a lot, so it's, you can't just say, but I picked, you know, contrary, as I've said before, to popular belief, I have picked against this team several times. Last year, a couple
of years. You're lying your ass off.
No, I'm not lying my ass off. I have. But it is games like last Sunday that, to me, I'm telling you, and I told everybody who would listen to me, they were not losing that freaking game. No way. Unless they absolutely pissed it away, fumbled it away, you know, stupid things like fumbling kickoffs and things like that. They were going to come out firing. Now, granted, you knew the Steelers' defense was, what, 25th against the pass. But, again, those net yardage numbers, as I talk about, if I'm going to apply it to the Patriots, I got to apply it to other teams. So I don't put a lot of stock in some of those numbers. I look at, red zone offense, red zone defense, for the most part, and points allowed. The rest, what happens inside the 20s, I don't really care about. Because as you saw, the garbage yardage that Roethlisberger ended up with, you know, he ended up with, if you just saw that game on paper, you might have even thought the Steelers won. But it's not played on paper, folks. It's played on a football field. And that's why the Patriots won, because they didn't just win. They kicked their asses up and down that field. And it wasn't even close. 39-26, it could have been 89-10. I mean, that was like Wisconsin, Indiana. Anybody see that game over the weekend? Holy crap. What is that, 82-20 they won or something? But they manhandled that team.
They ran up the score.
Manhandled that team on Sunday night. I mean, the Steelers were just outclassed, outcoached, outhit, everything. Now, what I'm hoping for is to see, and you could tell for the first five throws Brady threw, he was on fire. On fire! I mean, you could just see it right off the bat. They had that eye of the tiger look, if I may use a very old cliche. I mean, they had it. You could just tell. But I wasn't worried about the offense. And I wasn't one of those that said, oh, you know, where's Aaron Hernandez and where's Woodhead? Because, hey, the game plan dictated that this was going to be Gronkowski's game for whatever reason. Sometimes, if we've all seen the Patriots play off, you know, many, many times with this coaching quarterback, it's not always the same guys doing the same things offensively. They spread it around. Some days it's going to be Welker. Some days Gronkowski. Some days Hernandez. Some days maybe a little Woodhead. You know? A lot of times it's a combination of eight or nine guys. So let's, you know, no one should go crazy because Aaron Hernandez didn't have a lot of caught passes the other day. He didn't need it. It was Gronkowski's day. He made up for it big time because he certainly was one of the big goats in the game against the Browns. We all know that. But I thought he redeemed himself nicely for a rookie. I mean, he's having one hell of a season. Both tight ends are having one hell of a season so far. Well, this is interesting. Just getting a little snippet from ProFootballTalk.com. On Sunday night, Steelers receiver Hines Ward absorbed a helmet-to-helmet hit, bizarrely dubbed, quote, a neck injury by the team during the game. Coach Mike Tomlin admitted in his postgame press conference that Ward suffered a concussion. And it's now clear the neck injury didn't magically become a concussion. It was a concussion all along. I was fine, Ward said on Monday, according to Ed Bouchette of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Got my bell rung a little bit. Had to hurry up and get off the field like I always do. I guess I stumbled a little bit to call the test. I was fine to go back in, but I guess the NFL's got their rules or something. You got to abide by the rules, I guess. So the question remains, why didn't the Steelers tell the truth about Ward's condition? Where's Senator Spector now? Where is he? We see two explanations. First, the Steelers were considering the possibility of pretending, like make-believe, that Ward didn't have a concussion and sending him back in Second, the Steelers wanted the Patriots to think he possibly could return to the game, even though there was no way he was coming back. Well, I'm outraged right there. You talk about Spygate, I give you the Pittsburgh Steelers and their cover-up of Hines Ward. Being facetious.
Neckgate.
Neckgate. I hope there's a thorough investigation. I hope the locker room was bugged, officers were bugged, and it's made into a movie somewhere along the way. But I want an investigation.
You could play Hines Ward.
I want an investigation. Hines Ward. About his neck injury that apparently is a concussion that the Steelers tried to cover up, allegedly. Well, the nerve. Anyway, you got to be excited about what's coming up this weekend as well. At 4:15, it's going to be a little chilly, little chilly. Sun sets at like 1 o'clock now in the afternoon. So it'll be like 4:15. It'll be freezing outside, like in the 30s, for Mr. Manning and company to come in. Now, we all know. And this is one person that I have the tremendous amount of respect for. I know a lot of people hate him and all that stuff, but you have to respect him. As a football player, you got to respect this guy. And you talk about injuries and stuff. I mean, you know, the Patriots certainly have had their share over the last couple of years. But this year, you know, the Colts are banged up. There's no question. They are banged up. They still got Reggie Wayne. Austin Colley is, you know, still around. He's there. But he had a concussion. He's questionable, too, this week. You know, Clark's out. Gonzalez is out. You know, still have Pierre Garçon, Blair White. And it's that kid, Tammy, doing pretty well at tight end so far. But he's got a sore back. So he's a bit banged up. However, as long as that guy, Peyton Manning, is at quarterback, this team is going to hang around. The Patriots have had a hard time as of late. With the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, they got them in 2007, the year of the undefeated season, but remember, they didn't make a big comeback in the fourth quarter to win that game. We all remember what happened 2 years ago with the third and one. Was that last? No, was that last year? Third and one, it was last year in Indianapolis.
The fourth and two.
Which is the one time in a long time I really disagreed with Coach Belichick's decision, but you know, once you saw the film from the NFL film, and you found out that it actually was a catch. I mean, it was a catch, and it should have been a first down. But we digress. The bottom line is the Patriots have had their struggles with this Indianapolis Colts team. Now, this is not as potent a team for the Colts as it's been in the past. But they're still doing a pretty good job. And they didn't look great last week against Cincinnati. They lost to Philadelphia the week before that in a game that they lost by two, but they really got dominated in that game. I didn't think it was as close as the score indicated. Even though they had a chance, there was a bad, you know, they had a call. There was a bad penalty. Manning got a, it would have been, fourth and long, and instead ended up being a personal foul on one of the Eagles who, grazed Manning's helmet. But that's what they call now. That's the rule. So you can't. And it put them in a first down position. So it ended up, I think, they lost 19-17. But they are still a very good team. Now, they've banged up on defense. They've banged up on defense a little bit as well. The Colts are. But I'd be stunned if this is not a highly competitive game on Sunday. Stunned. What's the early line? I haven't seen that. In fact, you got to bring me my lines. But what's the early line? The Patriots favored by what, three? Yeah, that's about right. I figured it'd be three, 3.5, four. No more than four. Probably go up before kickoff around 3.5. And I think that's what it's probably going to be right around there. Patriots, I'll make my predictions at the end, but I'm leaning towards the Patriots by between 6 and 7 points. I think it'll be a very highly competitive game. Indy is not going to come in here and lay down to the Patriots. That's not going to happen. Certainly with Peyton Manning at quarterback, that's not going to happen.
Eight.
So I am looking forward to – I thought Sunday night was obviously the best game they played all year, no question about it. And it was entertaining if you're a Patriot fan, if you're a Steeler fan. You know, I don't really care. You know, that's tough cookies for you. I don't care if Steeler fans are entertained or not because I'm not worried about them.
To any Steeler fans listening, you all suck.
Was that recent by John Rook? Oh.
couple years ago.
A couple years ago.
He was reading an email.
Oh, I see. Speaking of emails, you can email me right here at webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Also, give me a call. Ace Ticket Hotline is open, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Coming up in just a little bit, too, we're going to have Paul Kaharsky from the AFC South, who covers the AFC South on ESPN.com, joining us and see what his thoughts and maybe get a prediction out of him, what he thinks is going to happen in this game. I think it's going to be one hell of a game. I think it's going to be, you know, I love the way the Patriots defense has been playing, and this is not the same Colt team. I mean, Joseph Addai, we don't know if he's going to play. He's got a neck injury, too. You know, Donald Brown and Mike Hart, you know, they're going to be able to pick up the slack. So, I mean, this is I think this is kind of for the first time, you know, the Patriots, a lot of times over the years, including the playoffs, the Patriots have had to play Indianapolis pretty banged up. Three, four, five starters have been out at one point. And they may be catching the Colts, might be a little vulnerable this week. Is that fair to say? They might be a little vulnerable this week. However, like I said, as long as that guy's a quarterback, Peyton Manning, I mean, you can overcome a lot with a guy like that. I mean, I'm trying to apply the same kind of logic I would as if the Patriots were banged up with Tom Brady and Coach Belichick, because you know they would come up with something to make the game competitive. And I certainly expect that from the Colts this week. I think it'll be a competitive game. I'll be shocked if this is a blowout by the Patriots. Shocked.
How do you feel about how the Jets have won the past 2 weeks?
I cannot tell you how much.
Not that I'm trying to get you all
fired up. I cannot tell you how much that I hate the Jets. I mean, I really, they're almost starting to surpass my hatred for the Yankees and the Montreal Canadiens. I hate the Jets so much. But look, they're winning games. They're finding ways to win. Sometimes they're not sexy, except for their coach, who's a transvestite, apparently, last week, as we saw. Oh, now he's dressed up as his brother. He looked
Let's
like,
go to eat a goddamn snack.
Yeah, he looked like it. He looked like a big, fat
I was so disappointed that you weren't here last week when that happened.
But I understand. And the networks, you know, they just love Rex Ryan because he's, you know, he's goofy and he does things. He's silly. He's himself. He can be himself.
But let me ask you this question.
Yep.
If Rex Ryan became the next head coach of the New England Patriots, how would you feel about his antics then?
I don't think he would. I refuse to answer that question. Here's why. Because Bob Kraft would never hire such a clown to do that. And I don't think he's going to be head coach much longer, to be honest with you. And if they don't, you know, let's see if they make the playoffs first.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah, let's see if they make the playoffs first. I'm serious. Let's see if they make the playoffs first. They could have easily lost the last couple of games. Yeah, I know the Patriots, and people say, oh, yeah, the Patriots could have lost this game. They could have lost them. But, I mean, you know, but they didn't. And you got to give the Jets credit. You know, as much as I hate them, I respect them. They do have a hell of a defense. And Rex Ryan is a great defensive coach. Don't get me wrong. I don't think he's a particularly good head coach. I still think he's had horrific clock management issues over his career. And certainly even with this Jet team, even games they won, he almost lost them for him at times. So we shall see when the Jets come here. When did they come? December? Or did they come the end of this month?
December 6th.
December
Monday 6th. Monday Night Football.
St. Nicholas's birthday, by the way, December 6th. That would be Santa Claus to you and I. Yes, and that's right, Monday Night Football, and that will be that is the game that everybody's going to be. I think people are actually looking more forward more to that game, I think, this year than the Indy game. I don't know, I could be dead wrong about that. I just think I'm not sure. The hatred for Indianapolis is different than the hatred for the Jets. I mean, is that goofy? It's a different kind of hatred, you know? I mean, all right, it's Indy. It's a big rivalry. It's Manning versus Brady, but I don't feel that kind of like I really, really hate them like I do with the Jets. You know, it's just not the same. I don't feel the same way about the Jets as I do Indianapolis. And I know Bill Polian has had his antics and, you know, pumping the crowd noise in, and we all know he did it, whether he wants to believe, you know, wants to deny it or not. That kind of stuff. But they do a very good job. They are very similar to the Patriots in how they run things over there, how they rebuild their franchise, how they don't are not huge into big free agent signings. They're more like the Patriots, where it's more drafting and that kind of thing, homegrown talent and developing. And it's maybe because they're not in the same division. Even when they were in the same division, you know, I mean, I guarantee you that back in the 60s and 70s, trust me, when Burt Jones was playing for the Colts and everything, I was younger then, obviously. I was only, you know, back in the 70s, and I was much younger, just started watching football around 1975, 1974, 75, around there. So, I mean, it was much more of a rivalry with those Colts, with the old Patriots, you know, the old Pat taking a poop Patriot on the helmet. You know, that's much more of a rivalry there.
Oh, what?
A Pat Patriot looked like he's taking a dump, you know, on the on the helmet. I remember the Monday night game. I think was it Joe Washington for the Colts, or I remember for the Baltimore Colts. The Patriots were like big, big favorites, like almost two touchdown favorites, unheard of. And it was a wet, rainy night on Monday Night Football. It had to be, must have been 76, 75, 76, 77 around there. And they were big favorites against the Baltimore Colts, and they just got annihilated. Basically, Washington. Was Joe Washington? I think he ran for like three scores. He ran a kickoff return for it. That was just, it was embarrassing what happened to the Patriots back then on that, and during that game. I just thought it was more of a rivalry. But I know, I don't feel the hatred for Indianapolis like I do for the Jets. I respect the Colts a lot. I mean, you have to. You know, I don't care for Polian, and I'm not a huge Peyton Manning fan, but, I mean, Peyton Manning is a great quarterback. He's a great quarterback. Can't say any differently. Can't say any differently. What we're going to do, call me on the 80 Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. You can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Let's see. Let me just give me 1 second here. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, let me punch up some of this stuff. And let's see. Here's the first email of the day. This is from Christopher, who says, hey, Pete, I think you're being a little generous to the Colts. Wow. I respect Manning very much. He makes some of the funniest commercials on TV, but I do think he and the Colts will struggle in Foxborough. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but I would not be surprised to see a 10 or even a 14-point victory. Despite Manning's ability to find the open man, I think Belichick will have the defense primed and ready to go to confuse the Colts' second-string receivers and stop their run. I'm sure Reggie Wayne will have his catches, but that won't be enough. No, you know, I don't totally disagree with that, Chris, at all. I don't totally disagree with that. I'm just saying, you know, I think you're right. I think somewhere between 7 and 10 points is going to be the Patriots' margin of victory. 7 to 10 points. I just think the Colts are going to stay competitive in this game. I really do. Because of Peyton Manning. And they are banged up. And their running game is not what it used to be. And their defense, I mean, they still have Freeney. And Matt Light's going to have to, played a hell of a game again Sunday after, you know, having the whole team had a bit of a letdown against the Steelers. But you got to... You got to have respect for Peyton Manning, and you know it's just if you look at some of the Colts losses, they just even when they lose, they don't lose by a lot, they just don't. You know, so I just don't see them getting blown out by the Patriots on Sunday. I think the Patriots are going to win the game. I'll have my prediction later on, but I think it'll be very highly competitive the whole way. Matt says, I heard you play Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood's theme. Well, here's a Brooklyn Matt real life story that has both Mr. Rogers and Boston in it. This will be interesting. Hey, Doc. Who's Doc? You? Oh, you're Doc? Is that your little nickname on the show?
My last name is Dvorkin.
Yeah, I know that.
Which sounds like Kevorkian.
Oh.
So I've had it for the past 6 years that I've worked here.
Oh, I see. All right. So I have to call you Doc now?
Call me whatever you want. Just be nice.
I'm always nice. Hey, Doc, one time in the mid-80s, I went up to a party in Northeastern. Well, we went to this really swanky townhouse. In Northeastern? Swanky townhouse? Must be a different Northeastern than I know. I don't know about many swanky townhouses around Northeastern. I have to tell you, I love the school. It's a great school. Swanky town. All right. I found out while I was mingling at the party that it was Fred Rogers' daughter's place. Holy crap. Know what happened then? I took a Quaalude and passed out underneath the coffee table. Blah. Last thing I remember was being surrounded by people standing legs around the table in all directions. It was kind of cozy. I had a little fort. I woke up the next morning in Mr. Rogers' daughter's living room, and we all piled back in the car to drive to RPI in Troy, New York, to do it all over again the next night. Well, boy, what I'll tell you what. I want to party with you, pal. Two of us together? Forget it. I mean,
so ridiculous.
That is just... That's funny. I gotta admit, that's funny. All right, gonna take a
quick... have the best listeners, don't we?
We have great listeners. All right, I got some of my Facebook emails I'm going to read as well when we come back. Quick break. Again, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Which team? I mean, I want some analysis from you guys about what you think is going to happen on Sunday. But as an aside, which team do you hate more, the Jets or the Colts? I say the Jets. You can also email me, webradio@patriots.com. You're listening to the Pete Shepherd Show on patriots.com here until 6. And when we come back, we'll also have Paul Kaharsky, who covers the AFC South for ESPN.com. All part of the Pete Shepherd Show. Quick break and back after this.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Third down and 10, Pittsburgh at the Pats 45. Back to throw, Roethlisberger. Being rushed, going to be sacked. Back at the 46-yard line. Patriots, Tony Vanto-Kane in there for the sack for the Pats.
All right, thanks to Gil and Gino and the Patriots Radio Network. Another fantastic call of the game on Sunday night. Patriots blowout the Steelers in 39-26. And they have the Indianapolis Colts, a very tough challenge coming up this week. And if you look at some of the overall rankings by the Colts. Again, this is that net yard stuff that I don't pay a lot of attention to, but some of the numbers are a tad disturbing for Indianapolis. I mean, passing yards, they're third overall, which is not a surprise. Rushing yards, they're 27th. They average 90.4 a game. Opponents' passing yards, they're 10th in the league, allowing just 211. I guarantee you Brady will have more than that on Sunday. And opponent rushing yardage, and this is where the law firm, and if Taylor hopefully will be able to play, this is where, you know, I'm not saying it's impossible for the Patriots to blow off the Colts, although I find it highly unlikely. But if the Patriots start running the ball through them, this team is ranked 29th against the rush. 133.2 yards a game they allow. And that's not to say the Patriots' running game is, you know, like the 70s Steelers, but certainly it has been effective at times, and they are capable of making some big plays. You've seen what the law firm can do this year, certainly Danny Woodhead and others. You know, they can rush as a team for over 100 yards. So if they're running the ball early and Indy's having a hard time moving the ball, it could be a long afternoon for Peyton Manning. However, I throw the numbers out. I basically throw all the numbers out of this game when these two teams play, because I just think it's usually a battle. Very rarely do the games end up, you know, that they're usually within a touchdown of each other for the most part. They really are, and it usually comes right down to the wire. So I'm just – that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting, you know, a Patriot victory, probably within 7 to 10 points, but that may not come until late. Email me here at webradiopatriots.com. You can also give me a jingle on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. Hey, Pete, says Terry, at work, so I can't write much, but yes, the hatred for the Jets is totally different for the Colts. The rivalry with Manning is great and has been seemingly every year he has been in the league. Parentheses, I still remember a great early season game versus Manning in 99. Yes, I do too. Sure, I want to see the Colts lose every game, and it stings when they manage to beat the Pats. This said, I have respect for the organization on some level, even if that isn't easy to admit. Okay, I think I'm with you there. The Jets just suck. This is the emailer. The Jets just suck. This is a different animal. They stole the tuna, which hurt us leading into Super Bowl 31. They stole one of my all-time favorite players in Curtis Martin. Flash forward a few years and Rattini blew the whistle. Genie blew the whistle at Spygate. The list goes on and on. It is with good reason that the hall at Patriots Place has the letter signed by Parcells giving Kraft
presented by Raytheon
the rights to attain Bill Belichick as head coach on prominent display on Jets letterhead. This is personal. Jets suck, suck, suck. Thanks for the great show, Terry in New Haven. Well, thanks for checking in. Appreciate it. See, I just think I think that's the case.
I think you were supposed to chant that last line of that email.
Suck, suck, suck. J-E-T-S. Suck, suck, suck. I get it. Peter says, okay, so first my prediction. Pats are going to win by 3-7, and their defense is going to be on their game. I know you hate the power rankings, but what do you think about them this week? What would be your top five? I would say Patriots have to be number one. And again, I'm not a big power ranking fan. I think you have to put the Patriots at number one. You're probably going to still put the Steelers, although, I don't know. Steelers and Baltimore, maybe. Got to be up there in the top. And the rest of it, the Patriots are number one. Steelers, Baltimore. I mean, the NFC is a joke. I'll put the Giants at five. How about that? Just because they're in the NFC. But nobody else in the NFC even deserves to be in the AFC. Because it's really, really. I mean, I know the NFC won last. I mean, New Orleans won last year, but they're not a top five team right now. They're not a top five team. I think the most surprising team in the whole National Football League is going to be Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay. And the other thing I want to touch on too, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is we're talking about hatred. But oh my goodness, Michael Vick last night was absolutely incredible. That was one of the most incredible athletic performances I have ever seen in any sport.
Sweet.
And I know a lot of people around here saw the game, and I probably know a lot of people that didn't see the game because the Patriots didn't play. And they hate Michael Vick, whatever. But if you missed that game last night, you missed. Somebody just texted me, what about the Eagles? Yeah, I put the Eagles in the top five. I put the Eagles right now in the top five. You know, I probably put, you know, Patriots, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Giants, Eagles, mix them up wherever you want. You know, mix them up wherever you want. Yeah, I think the Eagles deserve to be in the top five. But it was an incredible performance last night by Michael Vick. Absolutely unbelievable what he did in that game. From the get-go. I mean, Washington had no chance at all. None. And then Snyder signs Donovan McNabb to that absolutely ridiculous contract. Even though now we're reading this today, there's some out. So if they release him, they only owe him like $8 point something million. So there are, they did cover themselves. But typical Daniel Snyder brain fart to sign Donovan McNabb, who might be the 21st ranked quarterback in the league right now. Out of all of them. Used to be one of the best, but how the mighty have fallen. And he certainly didn't deserve that contract. All right, back to the emails. Oh, I read those two already. All right, you know what? I'm going to go to my Facebook page, see if anybody's giving me any emails there. We're going to check in very shortly with Paul Koharski from ESPN.com, who covers the AFC South, and get his take on what he thinks is going to happen this week. How the Colts are bad. I mean, the Colts are very, like I said, the Colts could be for the first time vulnerable. Really, this is one of the few times that they are really banged up. Usually, it's the Patriots that go into these games banged up. But tonight, this week, it's going to be the Colts. And if a die, he's got a little neck strain. They got all sorts of issues going on in Indy. On Facebook, Luke says, Pete, I hate the Jets more than the Colts. The Jets rivalry feels very emotional and visceral, which, while the rivalry with the Colts lacks the same emotion because the Colts don't engage in the trash talk like a Rex Ryan club will, I think the Patriots win 27-20 over the Colts this weekend. Okay, I can live with that. I understand. But there's no question. I mean, it's a funny, goofy topic, but there is a certain, it's just a different type of emotion when it comes to Indianapolis and the Jets. And, you know, the Jets is more of a, with the Patriots, more like a Red Sox-Yankees type of rivalry. Whereas Indianapolis might be like the Angels, I guess. Something like that, you know. We could even consider that a rivalry with the Red Sox. Gina Daytona Peach says, hey, Pete, this is one of the hardest questions I've ever had to answer. I hate crybabies. Okay, so who do I hate more, Bill Polian with his loudspeakers or LaDainian Tomlinson's sportsmanship? How about a tie, Pete? All right. It's your prerogative. You can say it's a tie. You can say it's a tie if you like. But, see, Polian's antics, I understand, you know, you can say what you want, but the guy is a good GM. He's one of the best in the league. All right, going to check out, head to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now and check in with Paul Koharski, who covers the AFC South for ESPN.com. Paul, thanks for coming on the Pete Shepherd Show. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Well, I expect to be one of the best games of the year once again, despite the Colts being a little bit banged up. As long as you got those two guys, as long as you got Peyton Manning and Tom Brady out there during a game like this, I don't care what the numbers are from either side. I throw it away, and I expect a very close game in this one.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a statement change for the Colts. That's you're understating, say, a little banged up. I mean, they've been nearly decimated, and they've done really well to survive it. Hopefully, for their sake, they get a few key guys back. You know, they had two starting linebackers out this last weekend. They had a no-name third wide receiver playing with Austin Tolley recovering from that concussion. So the hope would be, but we won't find out until we see a Wednesday injury report, that they get some of those guys back. But Brady and the Patriots certainly coming off a signature win. I don't know that the Colts have one of those so far this year. And this game from an Indianapolis perspective establishes whether they belong with the elite teams in the AFC. Or even if they win the AFC South, if they're going to probably be, you know, the top of the second tier as opposed to a member of the first tier.
Well, yeah, and I apologize because I did say earlier in the show when I started, I said, you know, for the first time in a while, the Indianapolis Colts actually look possibly a little vulnerable. However, I know the Patriots are not going to fall into that trap, just as Indianapolis wouldn't fall into the trap if the situation were reversed. I mean, it just every time, and certainly the Patriots have had their issues with the Colts over the years being very, you know, being banged up. And this is the first time in a while, Paul, I can remember that Indy is much more banged up, obviously, than the Patriots are. But I still believe in my heart of hearts, despite everything, that it's going to be no more than a touchdown, maybe a 10-point game if the Patriots win. But it's probably going to be even less than that. I just think over the years, and the Colts have had the Patriots number, especially the last five, you know, last six times, winning five of the last six and nearly winning the last six, if it wasn't for a couple of miracle plays in that 07 undefeated season. I'm not buying it. I think it's going to be one hell of a game because Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning, and he's a great quarterback, and he can defy the odds a lot of times. We've seen it before, just as Brady's done.
Yeah, and it's a lot like Colts. Not so much the Colts, but Manning is in a situation similar to what the Patriots were in going into Pittsburgh. You know, coming off that very disappointing effort against the Browns, and you just know that they're the odds of them playing poorly 2 weeks in a row are pretty slim. Well, you know, Manning was not particularly good in the loss to the Eagles in Philadelphia, and now it's coming off, you know, kind of a blank game where they just kind of did what they had to do against the Bengals, and they got five turnovers, but he didn't do much statistically. So what are the odds, you know, for Peyton Manning that, coming off a loss and a bit of a dud game, that he doesn't play well? If you're picking sides on that, just like you would have said with the Patriots going into Pittsburgh, you'd expect them to play well. I'd certainly expect Manning to play well here, but I'd certainly expect Belichick. You know, these guys who are replacement players are good, but they're clearly not as good as the guys they're replacing. Mm-hmm. And if there's a hole in Jacob Tammy, the tight end who's replaced Dallas Clark,
he's done well. He's
if
done
there's
very
a
well.
Hole in the linebacker who replaces Clint Sessions, say if he can't play, Belichick will find it, and the Patriots we know will try to abuse it in some way, shape, or form.
Well, talk to me about Joseph Addai. Obviously he's not having the kind of year we're used to. He's banged up as well. Is he going to be able to play? I mean, I know the report comes out tomorrow, but what's your gut instinct about his availability?
Well, his gut instinct last week was that he was targeting the New England game and hoped to be back. And here's a guy, I think probably New England has more of an appreciation for him. I haven't looked at his numbers specific to going against the Patriots. But, he's a guy that does what the Colts require him to do. He's not a fantasy type of back who's going to give you 100 yards every game. He does enough to supplement the passing game, and he's a great pass protector and a good receiver. And those are qualities that go missing. He's been out. Not just has he been out, but his replacement, Mike Hart's been out. Mm-hmm. Donald Brown was a first round pick, but he's not as good as either of those guys in this system yet. They're hopeful that Addai will be back, but really, you know, until that Wednesday injury report comes out 4 o'clock your time, I've got no way of telling you beyond that Joe Addai was optimistic last week that he'd be back. And that's certainly a guy Peyton Manning wants out there for a big game, for every game.
I was just going through some of the numbers on both sides, and I am, those who know me, I am not a huge net yardage guy. I'm more of, because I know how misleading some of those numbers can be if you don't watch teams on a weekly basis. You know, if you watch the Patriots steal a game Sunday night, you would have thought of on paper possibly the Steelers might have even won that game because of all the useless net yardage. I'm more of, in between the 20s, goal line defense, goal line offense, and points allowed. That being said, though, the Colts rushing defense, I think 29th overall right now, is that legitimate? I mean, I've seen most of the Colts game this year, but not every single one in every single play. Are they legitimately that bad a rush defense?
Well, they're not a great rush defense, but certainly that opener in Houston against Arian Foster, where he ran for 231, skewed it. So I think they're more playing more like a middle-of-the-pack defense. Now, they really had assignment and gap control troubles in that first game. And you know how it is with the Colts. When somebody really breaks it open on them and they have a bad run defense day, it really just escalates and snowballs, and that's the situation they had there. They've not gotten shredded to that same degree by anybody else. And it's still really the way to go with them, I think. Though they've given up plays in the passing game, generally, you know, they're smaller and quicker defense, and the way most people go at them is to try to beat them down and tire them out a little bit, and see how they're still standing up in the fourth quarter to that, And, of course, the Colts offense looks to get them in the lead so that you've got to throw. Now, I don't know if and then Mathis and Freeney can go after your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Against New England, you know, forcing Tom Brady to throw maybe isn't the wisest way to go, especially when he's coming off such a sterling passing performance from Pittsburgh.
Well, it's going to be interesting for the Colts because what is a new dynamic, which I'm sure you know about for the Patriots this year, is one we thought we had with Ben Watson and Daniel Graham and really didn't come to fruition, is the addition of the two rookie tight ends, Aaron Hernandez and Gronkowski, who had a monster game, obviously, on Sunday night. But that's going to be something Indy probably hasn't seen from this team in a while.
Yeah, it's different. And, you know, they've seen some good and productive tight ends. You know, they've got Gates next weekend. Mercedes Lewis is having a breakout kind of season, and they've seen him with Jacksonville. But certainly that is a new wrinkle in this matchup. It's a new wrinkle for everybody facing the Patriots now, the level of production they're getting out of those guys. But certainly it's coming away from somebody, you know. And I think given your choice between covering Randy Moss, the old Randy Moss anyway, not the one I saw this weekend in Miami, and covering those guys, hey, you'll say, hey, you know, we'll take our chances. And then if Brady's putting one in the tiny window like he did on that one pass, I think it was the first of the touchdowns.
Yep.
Well, you know, you tip your hat, go on to the next series.
Yeah, and then another play that Patriots did, the play action pass to the law firm, we call, of course, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis around here because of all the names, but, a play action pass to the halfback was something that I hadn't seen in this team in a long time. And Kevin Falk, yes, occasionally on third down, but, that was something we saw last week that I haven't seen with this Patriots team in a while, either. So, I mean.
That's interesting. And, you know, that's bread and butter for the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been saying since I've been covering this team, I don't know why you ever bite on play action against Peyton Manning. Play pass. If they run, you can run forward and get that guy and stop him, you know, 5 or 6 yards. It's not going to be 25 or 35.
Well, I certainly think Brady and Manning are, you know, flip a coin. They are 1 and 1A as far as play-action quarterbacks go. I mean, I think they just disguise it so well and hide the ball so well that it just, you know, it causes defenses to panic.
Yeah, and, you know, That's bread and butter. And it's amazing. You know, they both do it oftentimes when the run game in their career hasn't been doing much for them. You know, I guess it's hard to tell guys to just play pass, but that's what I do. I tell us, particularly my linebackers, you know, who will count on the defensive lineman to slow them up for a second. I'd rather take my chances getting beaten by a running back with the ball in his hands than getting beat by a wide receiver with the ball in his hands based on where the wide receiver gets the ball in his hands.
Well, I know the Colts are used to being, you know, 7-1, 8-0 at this time, whatever, and the Patriots have had those kind of records too at point. But, you know, this is why I don't think the Patriots will take anything for granted here, or Patriot fans should not take this team for granted at all. Granted, opening day against Houston, and you can make a case, but Houston was due. They probably should have beaten Indianapolis a couple of times over the years and blew big leads. And they really almost blew the lead again, you know, in the game one. But you look at the lot, I mean, this team could easily be 8-1. You know, they lost to Jacksonville the last second and lose to Philly by 2, and they lose to Jacksonville by 3. So we're not talking about, you know, we're talking, you know, a couple of plays away from this team having the best record in the NFL in Indy.
Yeah. You know, they're finally getting their turn. The only games that they, you know, it's funny. You'd say, well, they really lost badly in Philadelphia. It felt like a bad loss. And the score was 26-24.
Yeah.
You know, and they had the ball at the end with
a chance
to go. Get Vinatieri a chance to kick it until Peyton threw an interception. So, it's tough to blow them out, especially, you know, a team like Houston or a team like Jacksonville, and those weren't, Houston took them pretty good, but they got them back. A team like Jacksonville, you know, you play them twice a year, you have a certain different level of familiarity, even than the Patriots, who have seen them, you know, pretty regularly and sometimes twice a year with the playoff game. But, you're right, and they're gradually going to get people back, some this week, and a lot of guys you'd imagine, you know, by the last month of the season when they play Tennessee twice in games that probably decide the AFC South, you know, personnel-wise, they stand to be stacked up better then than they are now. And if you could pick your spots to be at your healthiest, you know, there's not a coach in the league with a contending team that wouldn't choose the last month over the first month.
All right, Paul, thanks for joining me on the show. I appreciate it. Please come back again soon. I just think this is going to be one hell of a game. I think it's probably going to be less than a touchdown. I just, like I said, I throw injuries and numbers away. As long as Brady and Manning are on the field, I think it's going to be a war. You got two very good coaches that are going to go at it. I just think it's going to be a hell of a game on Sunday afternoon. Now, the weather factor, I don't think is going to affect Indy all that much. It's probably going to be in the 30s around here, but they're not one of those teams that, like Tampa Bay, that can't play when it's, you know, less than 40.
Yeah. Sounds good to me, but I'm bringing my heavy coat anyway, and I look forward to making the trip.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Take care. That's Paul Kaharsky from ESPN.com, who covers the AFC South. And, you know, I'm not going to ask him for a prediction because you really need to see the injury report. I mean, Indianapolis is really banged up. I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I mean, it's possible that a die may not play. It's possible. Austin Colley's got a concussion. You know, they're banged up on defense already with Sanders and several others who are out. I mean, this is a very, very vulnerable Indianapolis team. If there's one time over the last 10 years that I thought the Patriots were going to be able to blow out this team, if there's a chance that they could do it, it would be this weekend. However, like I said, I just don't expect it. I just don't expect it. I've seen these two teams go at it too often, too many times, and too many of the same players are still out there for both teams, particularly the quarterback. So I will, I'll make my prediction, and, you know, coming up in a little while, about 45 minutes or so, but, when I go through all the games. By the way, I wasn't here last week, but 2 weeks ago, 9-4, which wasn't too bad. 9-4. I promised you the rest of the year free after what happened in week 3.
Yeah, man!
And I delivered 2 weeks ago at 9-4. And I can tell you this, I would have picked the Patriots here on last week if I were here. And I would have, what would I have lost on? I absolutely would have lost on the Jets. I thought the Jets were going to win that game by at least 7 to 10 points. Even though the Patriots got demolished by them, I thought Cleveland had maybe, you know, done all they could. And that kid Hillis, though, man, if he, his one concern with him is he fumbles the ball every game. But my goodness, he is just a machine. He's a wrecking machine for that team. It's the Browns, you know, got to give Mangini a little bit of credit, even though I don't like the man personally, but. From a coaching standpoint, apparently he's found himself as coach of the Cleveland Browns. You know, he smiles now. I love that. It's a game Sunday. Oh, Eric Mangini's smiling more. You know, he's not Bill Belichick's defensive coordinator anymore, and he's not trying to run the team like Bill Belichick.
And I'm not Bill Belichick,
yep.
And I'm not Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Burgundy.
And you're not. All right, quick break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, more of your text messages and emails and Facebook messages, not text messages, but Facebook messages. And, of course, email me here, webradiopatriots.com, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482. And then gather your family around 540 to 545, because that's when I will make my predictions and make someone very, very happy. And don't forget, the holidays are coming up. Yep, holidays are coming up. A little extra coin, maybe? A little extra coin? More jelly beans? We shall see. More of your analysis again. What team do you hate the most? Do you hate the Patriots? Do you hate the Indianapolis Colts more? Or do you hate the New York Jets more? Just as an aside, and tell me what you think is going to happen in this game on Sunday here at Gillette. Back after this.
Pete Shepard. The Pete Shepard Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees, and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios services available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. The Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Pete Shepherd.
Third down and five for Tom Brady. And the Pats at the Pittsburgh 25. Direct snap to Brady. Has time. Floats it long and deep. Gronkowski's got it. Hat trick touchdowns for Rob Gronkowski. His third touchdown of the game.
All right, back here, the final hour of the Pete Shepherd Show, actually about 55 more minutes or so. Picks coming up in about a half an hour. Until then, take your emails at the web radio Patriots at patriots.com, and you can talk to me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Peter sends a very interesting email. You said the NFC is very bad with teams like, well, I didn't say they were bad, but with teams like the Giants, Eagles, Saints, Falcons, Packers, how can you say the AFC is much better? You know, You actually bring up a good point. I forgot about the Falcons initially. So, the way the Eagles and Falcons are playing, which I think are pretty good, the Saints and Giants, yeah, you're right. I mean, they're right up there. But I just still think the Patriots, Indy, and the Jets, God, I hate to say it, and maybe not the Jets, but, the Patriots in Indianapolis, I think are better than the Giants. I think they're better than the Eagles. Better than the Saints, and better than the Falcons and Packers, even though the Indy is banged up. Like I said, this team, this Indy team is like 2 plays away from being 9-1. 2 plays away from being 9-1. So, banged up or no banged up, this is going to be a competitive game. I really believe that. I'm not saying there's not a chance that they can't get blown out. I'm talking about Indy. But, you know, it is highly unlikely, in my opinion, that that's going to happen. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio at patriots.com, and we'll get it right up there. I promise you can also get my Facebook page open today as well. So if you want to send me a message on Facebook, that's fine. That's Pete Shepherd, S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. See, Barry says, hey, Pete, on Facebook, love the show. I dislike Michael Vick as a human being, but I have never seen a quarterback performance like that ever. Where does it rank in your book? Well, as I said a few about last hour, it ranks right up there with one of the greatest athletic performances I've ever seen on any stage. That's how awesome he was last night. I mean, it was nothing but awesome for Michael Vick. And I have been a very big critic of his over the years, as of many. But he, I think, has finally gotten it, whether it was, you know, a combination of jail time or just realizing he had to, you know, he had to change his game. He is a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he's going through his progressions better. Everything you see this guy do the last few weeks, I mean, there's just no way Cobb is starting for the Eagles. And Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles are going to be a very dangerous team the rest of the way. A very dangerous team. But the Patriots are also going to be a very dangerous team, as are the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm trying to separate my hatred for the Jets with logic, which is difficult for me because I'm an idiot. But it's very difficult to, you know, I just can't bring myself to believe that the Jets are going to be some Super Bowl contender. Maybe it's because 1960, maybe it's Joe Namath, maybe because I've seen it so many times. And I just don't believe in the Jets, okay? I'm going to say it. I don't believe in the Jets. Because I've seen them have good teams before with better quarterbacks, not as good, quite as good a defense, obviously. But certainly I've seen them with better quarterbacks before. And I just don't believe it. I just don't. And they may make the playoffs this year, which, to be honest with you, I wasn't sure that they would at the beginning of the season because of Sanchez. But I must tell you, he has been a surprise to me. Overall, he's played pretty well. You got to give him some credit. He's played pretty well. Like I said, Rex Ryan has mismanaged the clock for this team a few times with bad clock management decisions, but they've overcome. LaDainian Tomlinson is playing like a 10-year, like a, you know, an 18-year-old this year. He's been a big surprise. But I have to see it to believe it, my friends, when it comes to the Jets. And they haven't won diddly poo since 1968. So I'll have to wait. Yeah, I'm just going to reserve judgment until the end of the season to see where they go. And I just don't see them winning any Super Bowl. I just don't. I'm not saying the Patriots are going to run the table and get to the Super Bowl, but I think they have a much better shot. They have a much better shot. I think they will prove it. Again, when the Jets come here in December 6th, that Monday night game, again, I expect that'll probably be a very competitive game as well. It usually is. And I think the Patriots will enact some revenge in that one, because if it wasn't for that one bad half of football that they played where Brady was trying to throw it, force the ball to Moss every play, you know, that game might have been different. And certainly it is not the same Patriot team now that it was back in week two. Completely different. Numbers don't mean anything. Just like they didn't a few years ago when the Bills beat the Patriots 31-0 at the end of the season, it really didn't matter until the end when the Patriots beat them 31-0. So what happens in week two does not mean it's going to transcend into week 11, 12, 13. Hey, Pete, great show concerning Freeney. If they use the double tight end set like they did in the Steelers game, they can use Crumple to help contain Freeney. All he has to do is chip on him enough to help Matt gain position, then release downfield, or they could use the G-man to do that. I agree. I dislike the Jets the most. Are you kidding me? The Colts just represent great competition in history for us for the past decade, but the Jets are like the flu you have to deal with each year. Most of the time, we have been able to inoculate ourselves against the hatred Jet flu, but every once in a while, they catch us off guard, and it really sucks. As a matter of fact, the color kind of mimic the nasty mucus buildup that you blow into a Kleenex or a hack up from a cough. J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. Anybody got some tissue? Well, I think that kind of sums it up. Freeney, and down with the Jets. Darius from Virginia Beach wrote that. Darius from Virginia Beach. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate that. I think a lot of people feel like you do. It's just different when it comes to the Jets and the Colts. You know, you hated Manning's little crybaby attitude at times, you know, years ago, whatever, but you still had a lot of respect for the guy. I mean, I think you had to. You know, Colts are a good team. Colts are a very good team. They are banged up. But don't fall into the trap that the Patriots are going to blow this team out all of a sudden because they're very banged up. Like I said, there's a very outside chance it could happen, but I expect this game probably going to be within a touchdown. Patriots are favored by 3 at home, which is basically a pick game, the odds makers are saying, and that's with the Colts banged up. So what does that tell you? That's a pretty big lack of respect. It's a pretty big lack of respect by the Vegas odds makers to make the Patriots only a 3-point favorite in this game. Be honest with you. Because that just means basically it's a pick game. A home team usually favored by 3 anyway. So what they're saying is this is a dead even game. And they might be onto something. They might be onto something here. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. You got to be impressed with what you're seeing with the Patriots on defense, kids. And I tell you, I'm a guy like Kyle. I mean, Kyle Arrington played his nuts off Sunday night. I mean, he's a guy that's been, you know, every week you say, oh, boy, if there's one really weak link, it's him. I thought he played really well. You got to love, you know the front seven have been playing extremely well, too. McCourty continues to impress. He's not going to stop every single play. I know people want McCourty to stop every single play, but he's not. No cornerback does. But they are getting the job done. Mike Wright had a hell of a game. Vince Wilfork, Vince is just awesome. Love watching him play. Got to love offensively. You got to love Logan Mankins coming back and right in there. And that quarterback sneak, I thought Mankins was going to kill Polamalu because he jumped on Brady or something. And Mankins was the first one in there to throw him off. Mankins is a beast. And I'm, glad he's back. Let's put it that way. Glad he's back. Patriots are a better team with Logan Mankins on it, no question about it. Even with Stephen Neal out. And I'm not sure what his condition will be come Saturday or Sunday, but we shall see. But you have to love what you saw from the Patriots on Sunday night overall. You really do. And what's going to be interesting is I'm looking forward to the pre-game shows again this weekend because I can't wait to see everybody pick Indianapolis. You watch. Actually, you know what? That might not be the case this week. I have a feeling this week that they're all going to pick the Patriots. All based on last week. But I do think it's interesting. It is really interesting, boys and girls, that they are only favored by 3 points against a very severely banged-up Indianapolis Colts team. That just goes to show you that the perspective from the Vegas guys is that this one's going to be close. I think they're going to be right. They're right a lot. Sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes they're way off. But a lot of times, especially this late in the season, they get this stuff right a lot. So I expect a very highly competitive game. From the Patriots and the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Patriots can run on this team. I think they can throw on this team. But Peyton Manning has always found a way, it seems, no matter who's out there for him, he's going to find a way to get some points on the board here. It may be ugly at times, but he's too good. He's too good of a quarterback. And like I said, If the Colts had not lost by 3 points and 2 points to Jacksonville and Philly, they'd be 8-1 right now. It would come right down to the end, too. Oh, this just in as well. Where's this from? Where's this from, Jason? I give credit to the proper sources so I don't get sued.
Story was on Nesson, but the person who did the discovery I highlighted for you is
Mr. Rappaport. Yeah, there it is. So Boston Herald's Ian Rappaport, great reporter. Again, it's about the Patriots-Ravens rivalry has now taken a turn. I don't know how many people you saw this. Suggs referenced the blockbuster Bring It On when asked if the Patriots did the Ravens a favor by beating the Steelers. Quote, "It was bittersweet," Suggs said in the video on the Ravens website. I was thinking maybe we can find that. If it's on the Ravens website, maybe we can get that sound, Jason. "I was thinking Sunday, like now, you know, if the Patriots were a movie, they would be Bring It On. The Rancho Cucamonga, the cheerleaders, they'd be like, yeah, they're a good team, but their championships are fake." Wow. Well, now again, while nobody should remember the plot, Bring It On, Wikipedia reminds us all that it was Rancho Kearney High School that had a cheerleading squad which was accused of stealing the routines of the East Compton Clovers. Yeah. First, I'll get to my analysis about this knucklehead in a second. So Suggs is saying the Patriots stole other team signals, much like Kirsten Dunst stole routines in a movie. Awesome, says Ian. I got to tell you. Let me tell you something, Terrell Suggs. You're a buffoon. And your buffoonery is layered for a number of reasons. One, you're a jackass for even bringing up the fact that the Patriots championships are fake. Number two, for anybody in their right mind to even bring up a movie like Bring It On, which grossed like $3, and compare that to the Patriots, it's just childish. So you're a buffoon, Terrell Suggs. You're a buffoon. You're a sore loser, again, to the Patriots. You've lost every time you played to them against, except once. That is unbelievable that he would bring this up. It's just amazing to me how people think, what goes through their minds. This guy's an idiot, Terrell Suggs. By the way, as Ian points out, you know, dive bombed a Brady surgically repaired knee. That was last year. Well, this is unbelievable how you bring up, again, I'm going to quote this, just so this is his quote about, was asked, Terrell Suggs asked about what it was like for the Patriots to beat the Steelers this year. It was bittersweet. I was thinking, like Sunday night, like, you know, if the Patriots were a movie, they would bring it on. The Rancho Cucamonga, the cheerleaders, they'd be like, yeah, they're a good team, but their championships are fake. What a loser. What a loser. Shouldn't even dignify the guy by giving him any pub at all. He's such a dope. It's just crazy. If you find the sound, Jason, we'll play it. You know. Because I will say that, because sometimes you can say something, it could be taken out of context, as we know. It could have been making a joke. So sometimes if you hear it, as opposed to being in print, you might get a different perspective. So I'm going to let you hear what Dopey Suggs had to say.
Bittersweet. It was bittersweet. I was thinking last night, like, you know, if, you know, the Patriots were a movie, they would be Bring It On.
Bring it on.
The Rancho Cucamonga, the cheerleader, they'd be like, yeah, they're a good team, but their championships are fake.
So. That's Terrell Suggs. We'll be back. You and I will be back.
Wow. Try the veal. It'll be here all week.
Very funny, you guys.
No, my opinion hasn't changed. I know he's trying to be a little goofy about it, but that's just, it's to bring that up and say that line about championships being fake, it's just so absurd. So absurd. Oh, where do they come from? When are they going to stop? When are they going to stop? When are these people like Suggs and Joey Porters of the world and so many others who have been beaten time and time again by this New England Patriot team, have eaten so much crow over the years, had it shoved right in their face and stuffed down their throats, and they still come back with stupid, idiotic comments. And I guarantee you, Suggs, if you play the Patriots again in the playoffs, that quote will be plastered all over the wall, and they will have a bullseye on your sorry ass, even though they can't come out and say that. They just don't get it. When you make statements like this against this team, 98% of the time they come back to bite you severely. It's happened a lot over the last decade with this team. So keep yapping. Keep talking about fake championships instead of analyzing what you should have done, what you could have done. Just can't get over the fact that you lost to a better team. How about that? But no, that'd be too easy. Why admit that? Why admit that? All right, Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. Coming up in just a little while, I have all my football picks. You can email webradio@patriots.com as well. And I was telling John Rook earlier in the crossover, couple of NFL notes here. Again, your thoughts, too, as well. I'd like to hear from you guys about Michael Vick, what you thought about him last night. I mean, it was just spectacular. And forget the other past stuff. I mean, I know he was a despicable human being. He was involved in an incident not too long ago where he was at some party and somebody was shot. You know, almost got himself in trouble there, but whatever. I guess he wasn't involved. So I don't know if he's learned his lesson. It certainly seems that he has tweaked his game, because right now he is one of the elite quarterbacks in the league. Along with Tom, along with Peyton, you've got to put Michael Vick's name up there right now. I thought what he did last night was just absolutely spectacular to watch. Flawless, effortless. In all facets, I mean, running, throwing, checking down, everything. He did it all last night. He did it all. The other thing is, as I was telling John, as I started to tell you before I interrupted myself, NFL Network coming up November 19th. This is going to be something for every football fan. It's going to be a must-see. It was in Patriots Football Weekly today, and you guys will see it tomorrow when the magazine gets released on the shelves of the newsstands. November 19th, 8 o'clock, NFL Network. Bill Parcells, Reflection on a Life in Football, a 90-minute documentary. And they have allowed NFL Network got access to going to his house.
Boy, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Practices, meetings. There's a lot of old footage and stuff that's never been shown before.
No disrespect.
Ever. So there's going to be a lot of this stuff. They get to go into meetings, obviously games, mic'd up. You know, and that stuff is great. I mean, and
it's starting to piss me off.
And off the field stuff too from the tuna.
No disrespect to the Orientals. Well, how many sodas did you steal?
He was classic around here. He
but
was.
Doesn't anyone want to talk football?
Exactly.
You got to keep an eye on those two. You know what his nickname is? Doom. That's shortened from the voice of Doom.
Yeah, he's one of a kind, no question. And Bill Belichick is interviewed in this, by the way. So is Robert Kraft. You will hear from them in this November 19th documentary. And just the mic'd up stuff alone
is
worth it.
I do like New England very much.
And I don't know how you guys feel about NFL Network as far as when you watch NFL films. I mean, it's just spectacular what they've done over there. And I could watch hours of coaches mic'd up. I don't care what decade, what team, what the records are. It doesn't matter. I love the banter on the sidelines when the coaches are mic'd up, especially when they're yelling at the refs. We've all heard the old Hank Stram before. You know, there's a great some great Parcells. Even some great Belichick, some great Pete Carrolls. That stuff I love when NFL Films allows you to hear. I mean, I could just watch hours of mic'd coaches in the NFL. Scream and yell and banter about. It's funny. It's great stuff. There's nothing like it. And that's why the NFL is the best league in all of sports. It's because of stuff like that.
I like the America's Game.
America's Game is good, too. America's Game is very good. Oh, America's Game. They don't show the Patriots enough, though, in those things. You know? That was show like Montana and Rogers.
They show their three Super Bowls. That's what they're about.
Oh, that the America. You're right. Well, that part. Yeah, you're right. They've shown the three. Not lately. They haven't. But they do features on, and they've done. They've done a feature on Tom Brady before. But they just seem to. And everybody else seems to get more coverage. I don't know why. More of the time. I seem to think I see more of the other teams on that, you know, on that network than I do the Patriots sometimes. So, I mean, as far as those shows, type of shows go. But they're all good. I mean, even if you're not a Patriot fan, it doesn't matter. I mean, most things done in the NFL Network are fantastic, those shows that they do. John on Facebook says, the Raiders' number one pick doesn't look as good as we thought it would. I figured it was going to be at least a five. I agree with you, John. No, it's not looking good at all. Not one bit. And the Raiders went into Pittsburgh last year, if I remember correctly, and beat them. And they go into Pittsburgh again on Sunday. You got to figure this time that Pittsburgh has got to feel humiliated after being humiliated by the Patriots. So I expect them to come out strong, but I'll give you my pick on that game coming up in just a little bit. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Email me, webradiopatriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-543-7482. 508-543-7482. This just in, Mike Vick won his second straight NFC Offensive Player of the Week award. Absolutely, nobody's surprised about this at all. He's the first quarterback to win the award in consecutive weeks since Randall Cunningham back in 1998 during the Vikings' 15-1 season. You know, Vick was also the NFC's Offensive Player of the Month for September. Six touchdown performance last night against the Redskins. I mean, it was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What he did last night. So, dogs, no dogs, whether you think he's a despicable, vile human being and, you know, should be in jail the rest of his life and everything. I think he paid his price to society. He lost millions of dollars. He was in jail for what? A couple years? Right? Year and a half, a couple years?
Yeah, 18 months.
18 months. I think he paid his debt to society. So, I'm not saying forgive and forget by any means or anything like that. All I'm saying is I think he paid his debt. And I think you have to give him, I think he's earned at least a residue of respect from most people who follow the National Football League, because I certainly was not one that would think he was going to be able to come back, not only be a successful quarterback, but to be able to finally realize, because he had such talent, and you saw him at Virginia Tech, and he was a freshman, and, you know, and played in Florida State and had so many great games. You knew this guy had the talent, but to finally realize that he had to become a quarterback and not a running back for the most part, you got to give him a little bit of credit for that. Gene in Daytona Beach says, "Pay Pete, I decided which team I hate worse, the Jets or the Colts. Terrell Suggs just made it easy for me. The Ravens." Yep, Terrell Suggs, the latest idiot to open his mouth, brings up Spygate, you know, and trying to be clever about it, but says the Patriots championships were fake and compared it. This dope compared it to the movie Bring It On, that stupid cheerleader movie with Kirsten Dunst. Bring It On, he compares it to. Holy cow. That is unbelievable. So, anyway, that's a couple of NFL notes. Like I said, that Bill Parcells documentary coming up November 19th, 8 o'clock. Parcells, Reflection on a Life in Football. And Robert Kraft is interviewed in it. Bill Belichick will be in that. And lots of players, obviously. Curtis Martin, I guess, has a big part in that as well. But that's going to be great. Just to see the cameras that were allowed in this house and at practice and at meetings. And obviously at the games and outside of work, that's going to be a fascinating thing to see coming up. What's also going to be fascinating is the Patriots and Indianapolis Colts coming up here at Foxborough 4:15. Temperatures expected to be in about the 30s by kickoff because, as you know, in the Northeast, as soon as the Labor Day hits, the sun starts to set at like 2 o'clock. And it's going to set at 1:10 on Sunday, by the way. I made that up, but doesn't it seem it is so depressing when the sun goes down, you know, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and it's dark. Dark, wicked dark. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. 508-543-7482. That is the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email me, webradiopatriots.com. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, more of your emails, more of your Facebooks, more of your phone calls, whatever you want, and then get ready, because this is going to be one super week of picks by me. Let me tell you why, because I've told you in the past, you don't really start learning about teams until week 8, 9, or 10. Well, we are there, folks. We are there. And that's why I'm coming off a super week 2 weeks ago at 9 and 4. I'm going to do even better this week. So get ready. Get ready for the picks. They're coming up soon. Gather the whole family around. Do what you have to do. You know, put the stove on simmer, Mom and Dad. Whoever's cooking, and gather the kids, gather the family pet, come along, and get ready. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back here on the Pete Shepherd Show, Patriots.com. Yeah.
Pete Shepherd, the Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian. You can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Roethlisberger back to throw again. Looking down the middle, now starts to run with it. Now he's going to be hit, and he's going to be sacked for the fifth time in the game.
You have the interception, the Sanders pick six call. You have that? You punch that up? I want to amuse myself here the last few minutes of the show before I get to picks, and that's it's always fun to see Roethlisberger get picked and pick six. It's outstanding. And I was watching the game on TV, so I didn't get to hear Gil's call. But this is fun. It is fun when the Steelers lose as badly as they did to the Patriots again. And Ben Roethlisberger does stuff like this. Oh, God. It's another team I will never feel bad for in any way, shape, or form. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, please. Absolutely ridiculous. Some of the stuff that's come out of their mouths over the years, but... that's why Ben Roethlisberger throws pick sixes. It's a funny thing. And didn't you just laugh? I mean, I just laughing the whole time. Here it is, in case you missed it.
Roethlisberger, first and 10 at his own 23, takes the snap, back to throw, fires the bullet, and it is intercepted down the left sideline at the 20, at the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone. Touchdown by James Sanders.
Holy Toledo! Holy Toledo! Good call, Dukaroo.
Nice. So that was that. We have Terrell Suggs, who also made some stupid comments that Ian Rappaport and the Herald picked up today about compared the Patriots to Bring It On, that pathetic cheerleader movie with Kirsten Dunst, and said that championships are fake, just like the cheerleaders in Bring It On. I've never seen Bring It On, so I don't know. I mean, Kirsten Dunst, besides Spider-Man, the only movie I've ever saw her in, you know, one of her first movies was Jumanji. You know, she played the niece in Jumanji.
You know, I was trying to see if I could find 10? Some decent audio to play from, and I watched the trailer and had to turn it off after 15 seconds because it's just not that good.
I mean, and she got accolades. She was in some other movie about being a which queen did she play? Not like Helen Mirren, who did a great job as Queen Elizabeth, by the way. That's a great. She did great, but she played one of those queen movies. I think she got some accolades for that. But she was also what's that other movie she was in where she had like five sisters and they all killed themselves in the end because they wouldn't mind the parents wouldn't let them date guys. They all like killed themselves in different ways. Kind of sad, depressing movie. Not really fun for the whole family. I saw it once, and you know, not bad acting, but. You know, that's just what you want to say. What's it called? The Virginia something. Virginia Sisters? I forget what it was called. Somebody will punch it up. But, you know, it's all about these five nice-looking sisters who were, like, not able to date these guys that lived across the street or something. And then they end up killing themselves. I don't know. It was kind of depressing, to be honest with you. But that was another Kirsten Dunst movie. Besides Spider-Man and, you know, the wet T-shirt thing that she did in the first one, you know, when she was kissing him upside down. She just doesn't, you know, she's a pretty girl, but I don't know.
She was in the Mona Lisa smile.
Ooh, that got a lot of great reviews, didn't it?
Marie Antoinette.
That's the one, Marie Antoinette. That's the one, Marie Antoinette. Yeah, I knew she played. And what else is she in?
Let's see.
She's not very good.
Elizabethtown, Wimbledon.
Wimbledon sucked. That movie, I saw. I got through about 20 minutes of that and puked. I threw up, and then I just switched the channel.
Mona Lisa Smile, The Cat's Meow.
Let me tell you some of the worst movies. Those are horrible.
She was actually in a movie in 1999 called Dick.
And that figures. But I got to tell you, the last I've been on a movie kick here. I've been going to the movies more lately. Don't ask me why, but I got to tell you, they suck. There's a lot of movies that suck. Now, I saw Fair Game yesterday, which was pretty good, with Sean Penn and Naomi Watts. Very good. About the former CIA operative, covertly, back in the early 2000s. Excellent. Best movie I've seen in a while. I saw Hereafter. Did I bring this up before a couple weeks ago? I saw Hereafter, which I've never fallen asleep in a movie theater in my life, ever. I fell asleep in Hereafter. Awful. Awful movie. And then, in my hotel room, wherever I was, I think it was at Mohegan a couple of weeks ago, and I'm watching The American with George Clooney. The American with George Clooney. The only good part about it was it took place in Italy, which there's a lot of, you know, nice, interesting scenery. That movie sucked worse than Hereafter. Awful. No, it wasn't even close to God. Don't insult the Godfather by playing, you know.
It was Italy.
Awful. I know, but it's an awful movie. The American, George Clooney, don't waste your time. I mean, pathetic. Cure for Insomnia. Hereafter sucked. And the Matt Damon scenes were the only ones that were any good, and he wasn't in the movie a lot. The rest of it was just coffeehouse, smoke-filled crap. I mean, awful. Awful.
You should go see Due Date.
What's Due Date? Who's in that?
Robert Downey Jr. and
Zach
Galifianakis.
Oh, yes, that was, yes. You know what? I probably should have. I love Robert Downey Jr.
It's actually,
and, yeah,
really
Robert
funny.
Downey Jr. is one of my favorite actors, as we digress here. But I had to get that off my chest because Hereafter, I went with some great expectations. I thought, oh, wow. I said, you know, I like the premise. It looked really cool. But let me tell you something. The previews are the best parts of the movie. There are some conversations in that movie, some of them not in English, that are so pathetic and so drawn out. I fell asleep. I'd never fall asleep in movies. Never. Never done that in my life. Virgin Suicide, yes. Tracy in Vegas. Yes, Tracy, thank you. That's the movie I watched. Virgin Suicides. Kind of a real, that was a depressing, that's as depressing a freaking movie as you'd ever want to see. Let me tell you. I don't like to leave the movie theater feeling depressed. You can feel angry, outraged, happy, sad sometimes. But depressed? That's the worst feeling you could ever have coming out of a movie theater, I think.
She was also in Little Women in 1994.
Oh, that was a famous book. I remember my sister reading that. And I'm like, what are they about? You know, obviously. It's just... That's a classic. That book's a classic, I guess. Not a guess. It is a classic. But I don't think, I don't know. I don't know how the movie fared out. But Kirsten Dunst's movies are not exactly, you know, Oscar driven. That's not to say some Oscar movies deserve to be even nominated. We know how foo-foo-y the Academy is with their movies. I'm really digressing here with the, well, I'm just, you know what? Let's do picks now because I got to tell you, I'm on a roll. 9-4 2 weeks ago. I had to take last week off, obviously, so we'll stick with the 9-4. I'm on a roll. And I got to tell you, I love what I'm seeing this week. I love it. We begin with the Miami Dolphins. Nice win against Tennessee this week. Gee, Marino picked them. How about that? Who would have thought that on Sunday? Marino picked Miami. They're at home playing the Bears, who suck, even though they won against Minnesota, because they suck more.
The Bears are what we thought they were.
Miami at home is favored by 1.5. I'm all over this. Dolphins. I think Cutler's in big trouble. Miami, -1.5. That is the play. The Pittsburgh Steelers, after being humiliated, and thrashed and got their asses whipped up and down the field. They are 7.5-point favorites against the Raiders. Well, I like the way Oakland's playing lately. 7.5 seems too much for me. Oakland beat them there last year. I believe it was in Pittsburgh last year. I'm taking Oakland. Plus the 7.5. The New York Jets are home against the Houston Texans. Jets, 7-point favorite. And what's happened to Houston is what happens to them every year. And it's one of my favorite words, but I'll say it again. They just suck. They don't, on paper they don't suck, but they suck. So, I don't know. I think they're going to get destroyed in this game. Don't ask me why. I hate to pick the Jets big. I think the Jets win this big. I think the Jets win it big. I think Houston's done. You know, the Carolina Panthers, you got to give them a lot of credit for at least fighting hard. The team doesn't give up. They suck, but they don't give up. They play hard. Probably made more of a game of it last week against Tampa Bay than they should have. They hung in there for a while. But now they're playing at home against Baltimore. Baltimore's favored by 10 in this game. And I'm going to go with the Panthers one more time here to keep it close. 10 points, just a little too much for the Ravens. Could be a trap game for them, even though I'm not sure who they're playing next week. But it's one of those, doesn't matter, because Carolina's so bad, they could be playing the second worst team in the NFL. It'd be a trap game. So I'm going to go with Carolina to keep it close at plus 10. Next up, the Titans. Can they rebound from that loss to Miami? They're home against Washington. Donovan McNabb and his new contract. Washington, say it with me, sucks. They suck. Monday night team going on the road. You know how I feel about that. Even if they won the game, they didn't win the game because they suck. They got humiliated, and they're going to get humiliated again because Chris Johnson is going to run all over them. They are dead meat in Tennessee. They're going to get killed.
Great cash, homie.
At Tennessee, -7. Dan Snyder, you suck. You're an idiot. $40 million-plus contract for a guy who maybe is the 20th to 21st ranked quarterback in the league. Anyway, who is another suck bowl? The Dallas Cowboys are home against Detroit. Cowboys feeling cocky after beating the Giants, who forgot to show up on Sunday.
How about them Cowboys?
And you know what? In suck bowl number 42 this year, I'm going to pick the Cowboys in this one. I like Dallas, -6.5. They get it done against Detroit. How is Detroit going to win in Dallas? They almost won in Buffalo, but Buffalo ain't Dallas. Next up, Green Bay is at Minnesota. Oh, my. The Packers going in 3-point favorites with a team or a coach that everybody hates on the Vikings.
I've always wanted to be a Packer. I think I always will be a Packer.
Since Brett Childress sucks, Brett Favre sucks, and the Vikings suck, Green Bay doesn't. And I just think this is the game where everything falls apart for the Minnesota Vikings.
I put my pants on just like anyone else, one leg at a time. Then I pull my penis out.
I'm taking the Packers at -3. They get the job done. I think Minnesota might even keep it close, but man, you got to figure it's about to come. The eruption is about to come in Minnesota because they're all squawking now about how much they hate Childress. So we shall see how much Brett Favre. And you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. You ready for this? Brett Favre does not make it through this game. Doesn't make it through the game. Mark it down. Next
ball
up.
Still good. That ball there had silicone on it.
Cincinnati Bengals are home. They suck. They're playing the Buffalo Bills, who really suck. But the Bills are on a roll. One in a row. The Bills can win, folks. They can win. But they won't win at Cincinnati.
It's a very complex proposal, and I really didn't understand it.
Cincinnati at -5.5. This is a tough one. I got to tell you, this is a tough one. Because you get the feeling the Bengals might just give up here. Because they suck, as I said. Notice the theme going on here. And that's why I'm going to take the Bills with the points. Not saying they're going to win.
It's my quarterback.
Yeah, it's your quarterback, all right. You all hate each other. What the hell has he done? What have they done over there? They do TV shows. They do TV shows for four-year-olds.
They're on Twitter.
Ooh! Well, that changes everything then. If you're on Twitter, well, you must be, you know, intelligent. Next up, I'm taking the Bills. 1-0 in the last game. They're riding the streak of one.
Yeah, fantasy football would say they're streaking.
They're streaking.
W1.
Yeah, W1, baby. Next up, Jacksonville Jaguars home. Knock it down! They did! It ended up being a touchdown, though. How about that on Sunday? The Browns going as a 1.5-point dog.
Del Rio.
Dog to Jacksonville and Jack Del Rio. But Jacksonville coming off a Hail Mary win. And Cleveland coming off a horrible, pathetic loss that they should have beaten the Jets.
He's smart. He's really smart.
But I got to go with Jacksonville here. Bad spot for the Browns right here. Jacksonville only a 1.5-point favorite at home. I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
Don't you know his infinite? Man genius.
The Jets coach, sweetie. I should go say hello.
Kansas City is home. They gave up 87.5 points the other day. Something like that. Almost as bad as Washington was against Denver. They are 8-point favorites against Arizona. Kansas City shouldn't be 8-point favorites against anybody. I think they win, but not by 8. I got to take the Cardinals there. That's way too big of a line.
Well, I mean, we have a defensive end, and we got two tight ends, and we don't touch the mother. Get the off the field!
Next up is the Saints. They're not the Aints anymore. They were the Aints back in, you know, I still remember this. A little flashback by me. I'll keep the music going. Doesn't matter. I remember when Brian Gumbel used to do the old NFL Today show when CBS and NBC were on different stations. Remember they switched it. You probably don't even remember. But they switched. It was all screwed up in Rhode Island, Massachusetts. They switched stations because of with all that stuff. But Brian Gumbel, not Greg Gumbel, but Brian Gumbel used to be the host with Pete Axthelm on the old NFL Today show. Pete, God rest his soul, was a great guy. Funny man. And I'll still never forget when Richard Todd was the quarterback at the time, back in 1980. Around there. It was either 80 or 81. Yeah, I think it was 1980. And the Saints were like 0-12 or 0-13 or 0-14. And one of the greatest things I've ever heard in sports ever was Brian Gumbel coming on. Because they didn't show all the highlights like they do now and all that stuff. They'd show one or two here or there, but it wasn't like they kept up with the game all the time back then. Brian Gumbel comes on at like 4:15. The Patriots, I think, just lost, as they always did back then, around 1980. And comes on and says, well, the New York Jets have done something that no other team in the NFL has been able to do. Lose to the New Orleans Saints. This is great. I'm done with my flashback now, but it was quite fun. Back then, I'm telling you, you had to be there. It was. I shared the moment with my dad. It was very nice. We laughed because I hated the Jets even back then, and I hated them then. So, with that being said, New Orleans is home as an 11.5-point favorite against the Seattle Seahawks. Every time the Saints are favored by double digits, not only do they not cover, sometimes they lose.
Let's get jacked up.
Like to Cleveland. Now, I'm taking Seattle with the points here. Way too many points at New Orleans.
No, that kind of question pisses me off.
I know. Interesting game coming up in St. Louis. Rams. Falcons. Matt Ryan and the Falcons favored by 3. And you know what? They're going to get it done.
That is all.
By the way, the Miami-Chicago game, I should remind you, is Thursday night. By the way, this Thursday night on the NFL Network. So just a reminder of that. I like the Falcons in this one. I saw Meter this morning with his suit on television. What a fraud. What an absolute fraud. It's just unbelievable.
But.
Oh, my God. A reject from the Game Show Network. It's absolutely unbelievable. Wearing a suit. You know what I did? Click. Anyway.
I mean, turn that off and listen to Patriots.com.
Crap.
We caught the replay, right?
Gotta watch that show while I'm eating breakfast, please. Anyway. I'm a big Jerry fan, though. I'm a big Jerry Callahan fan, though. I will freely admit that. Not politically all the time, but I'm a big Jerry Callahan fan. He's a good guy. At San Francisco, the 49ers favored by 3 against Tampa Bay. Very interesting game here. I can't figure out Tampa. I mean, San Francisco, say it with me, sucks. But I'm just not a real believer in Tampa Bay yet. And I'm not going to be this week either. I'm taking the 49ers at -3 to get the job done. Tampa comes crashing back to earth. Next up, Sunday night game. I'll do the Patriots last. Sunday night game at Philly. The Eagles favored by 3 over the Giants. This might be the second best game of the day after the Patriots in Indianapolis. This is going to be one hell of a battle. The Giants getting embarrassed by the Cowboys on Sunday. Embarrassed. And the Eagles coming off a Monday night home win, or Monday night road win, I should say. Now they're on the road. Not too far, though. Down the street a little bit. Against the New York Giants. Michael Vick is on fire. On fire. At home. Actually, no, it's Philadelphia at home. It's at Philadelphia. My bad. Giants are at Philadelphia. I'm taking the Eagles -3. I know the Giants, this will be a tough game. This could fall right on the number, but I gotta believe the way Michael Vick is playing right now. That was just such an awesome performance the other night. Can't even tell you. Next up, Monday Night Football. The Chargers favored by 10 over Denver. No. Break up the crash. Well, Denver may have got things rolling with their win this week over Kansas City. I'm going to take the Broncos. 10 points seems way too many. Although I think the Chargers might be coming out of their shell a little bit, probably start playing some football. They still may have a chance. Exactly. But 10 points, again, too many for a mediocre Charger team. And finally, your New England Patriots are home Sunday, 4:15, here at Gillette, against the Indianapolis Colts.
Cut that meat!
Sandwich.
Cut that meat!
And what a football game this is going to be!
What's up, baby?
This is one of those times I actually believe the entire planet is going to gang up on Indianapolis. I think the whole world is going to pick the Patriots in this game, which always scares me. But you can see why. Indy is very banged up. I still think it's going to be a close game right down to the end. Patriots 27, Indianapolis 20. That is my prediction. Patriots cover. They get the job done. They win by a touchdown, but this is going to be one hell of a game because as long as Peyton Manning is quarterback in that team, you know they are going to be competitive. The
Chris Lee, 255, X-block slant, H-disco, alert 12 trap. No, alert 14 belly.
So there it is, folks. There it is. Coming up by 9-4 week 2 weeks ago. I had last week up. There you have it. Patriots 27, Indianapolis 20. Game should be. The sun's going to set at like 1:10 on Sunday, so the game will be in the 30s by kickoff. It's going to be cold. It's going to be great.
The Colts are coming to town. It's going to snow.
Well, that would be even better. Snow's always better. I'll take snow in a football game any day for the Patriots. So that's it. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Pete Shepherd Show. Thanks again to Doc, Jason the Doc Dvorkin, for producing this whole thing. And also to Paul Kaharski from ESPN.com, covers the AFC South, joined me in today. Next week, we'll be back. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Plus an extra show.
Plus I'm going to have an extra show next week on Wednesday from 2 to 4.
You'll be in Patriots Playbook.
Patriots
Pete Shepherd.
Patriots Playbook. What does that mean?
It the name of John's show, Patriots Playbook.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll have to fill. I'll have to get John's notes for that show and see how he does it. But anyway, two shows next week, starting next Tuesday from 4 to 6, and Wednesday, filling in for Mr. Rook, who is going away with the Friars somewhere, probably to Guam for some basketball game that no one will be able to see in this country. All right. Anyway, have a great and safe rest of your week, Spanish, everybody. Patriots 27, Colts 20. That's what's going to be. You heard it here first. Enjoy your week, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Bye-bye.
Pete Shepherd, The Pete Shepherd Show on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.